Welcome to N Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with segment three of today's M Squared TechCast.
The grand circus that we have here.
Indeed. Yes. And you're the ringmaster, sir.
Sometimes.
Okay.
We just usually put it in Jessica's hands and she takes it from there.
Yep.
So we have on the line calling in from, gosh, I'm not sure where, Dan. You're so mobile. But we have Dan Lorman, our cybersecurity expert. I'm assuming you're in the Lansing area today, yes?
Yes, I am. I'm back in Michigan again. So, yeah, I'm outside of Lansing and Grand Ledge.
Okay.
All right.
I posted your blog entry that you had. I can't remember what the website was, but I posted it on my website where you were talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly of the internet after the Manchester attack. So why don't you kind of talk just a little bit about what your thinking was there?
Sure. Well, and I maybe we should take 2 minutes and just, you know, events moving very quickly over the weekend. We had, and I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it because it's all over the news. I'm sure people can read about the London attacks, this terrorist attacks this weekend as well. So it's kind of escalated a lot of the same themes in another set of attacks that just happened. For those who hadn't followed, there was, I guess, 7 killed. Yeah. As a van plowed into the London Bridge crowd Saturday night. And so there's a lot of, you know, obviously, you know, people, stabbings and other horrible things. You know, certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims' families in London. And this was just after, you know, like over a week after the attack that happened, you know, in Manchester. And then, you know, of course, there was this big concert yesterday. The concert went on after the Manchester attacks. But so there's a lot of things happening very fast right now in England. And so my blog was really talking about, you know, what are the impacts online? Like you said, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, so we have there's a British election coming up here for our prime minister, and so that's a huge. That's a huge issue, but you know, lots of different topics have come up. And before I even go through the good, the bad, and the ugly from that blog, you know, one of the biggest ones out there, and Matt and Mike, you could talk about it, is the Prime Minister in England, Theresa May, is now called for international cooperation to regulate cyberspace and deny the terrorists what she's calling safe places to congregate online. So this is a huge issue. It gets back to the whole encryption issue again, gets back to the whole issue around you know, social media, and apparently the terrorists were doing different things online in protected spaces. I know Google and Twitter are working on ways that can work with authorities around these terrorists. So there's just a lot of stuff happening right now related to terrorism in England and in Europe especially.
Hey, now, my question would be, is a lot of this stuff going on in the dark web? Or where would you? How would you define where all this collaboration is going on?
Well, I think that they're really saying, to talk about dark web, but I really think a lot of it is actually just in encrypted apps.
Oh, okay.
And so it could, you know, there could be in the dark web, obviously different types of things happening, but a lot of it is just, you know, in apps with rooms that are just encrypted. That reports were talking about some German social media apps, but even just applications that really everyone in America might be using, or people around the world. And so, you know, there's a lot of different responses, you know, related to that. And I think one of the big questions, I think most people in the security field, in the technology field, have been like very reluctant to stop encryption, because, you know, give the keys to authorities, because, you know, would that obviously open up Pandora's box of other kinds of problems? And, you know, the whole thing that happened, we had the incidents out in California, the terrorist incidents about, you know, unlocking the iPhones and those kinds of issues that we've talked about in the past. So I think clearly there's going to have to be some kind of middle ground some kind of way that, you know, if there's suspected terrorist activity or certain kind of illegal activity, that the social media companies or maybe Google and others would work with authorities to try and get access to that specific situation. So I'm not sure where that's going to end up. But it's a huge international discussion right now. And like I said, Theresa May is the prime minister, is calling for more working across, you know, the United Nations and governments on this topic. But, you know, the topics that I really covered in that specific piece that we originally were going to talk about, we didn't know, obviously, when we set this up on Friday, we were going to have another terrorist incident over the weekend in England. But there was a lot of good things that came out. You know, the online, there were pictures of taxi drivers offering free rides to people who were fleeing from the attack in Manchester. There was, you know, a lot of outpouring of support from all over the world that came in, sympathy. The Queen was visiting some of the victims, and they had pictures of that, and hundreds of people working together to try and solve different types of issues. So there was a lot of positive online feedback after these incidents. Unfortunately, there were a lot of bad things that were coming out of there. There were, you know, a lot of threats. There were obviously people were taking sides about, you know, and making accusations about, you know, different types of nationalities and you know, kind of hate speech out there. There was, you know, different countries warning their citizens not to travel to the UK. There were different issues around the leaks and the investigations as well between the U.S. and the U.K. The authorities in the U.S. were leaking things out. And so that was, those were, you know, some of the bad news stories. And then what I was calling some of the ugly was even like Boston, you know, journalists that were making jokes of this and using Twitter, using online services to criticize different, you know, faiths, you know, criticize different people, making light of the whole incident. Lots of fake news stories, and certainly there was different types of stories around the individual, the suicide bomber, for example, getting taxpayer-funded student loans to pay for his activities. There was a lot of different stories out there, and so I guess my main point, and we can talk about this, guys, for a couple minutes, is that, you know, whenever you have these kind of an incidents online, reaction is going to kind of accelerate in lots of different direction. There's going to be lots of good stories. There's going to be lots of positive feedback. There's also going to be lots of fake news, lots of people pointing and kind of jumping on the bandwagon in bad ways. And I think we just need to be aware of that's going on after these, before, during, and after these incidents.
Okay, and then I guess this is actually the third incident in the UK in less than 3 months. Why UK? Why are they going after the UK? Any ideas?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think, you know, certainly we have an election coming up, so the timing is very interesting. And you know, there's a lot of different theories. One's about, you know, that they're obviously part of working with the U.S. and going after ISIS right now in the Middle East. You know, different people, but certainly they hit Paris. They hit other parts of Europe earlier. There are lots of different of theories around that, and of course another big question that a lot of people are asking is, you know, is something imminent in the United States? And there was a lot of online alerts saying various things, but overall there's been no, you know, kind of clear and present danger. A lot of authorities around the country. In fact, one of the things that came out, Mike, right after a lot of this was, you know, we're not worried about imminent threats in Chicago, and we're not worried about threats in L.A., right now at least. But I think, you know, we can learn a lot from these incidents. The law enforcement, cyber professionals, security professionals, what the kinds of things that happen, you know, immediately after these kinds of attacks And we can learn from it and then hopefully apply that if and when, God forbid, we have the same kinds of things happen in the U.S. And in other parts of the world.
Yeah, Dan, I guess this is Matt Rausch. I guess I'm wondering how you stop people from talking about this stuff online, given the First Amendment in this country. I know there aren't that quite that level of free speech protection in other places, but here it would seem to be really easy to run afoul of the First Amendment if you just try to keep people from talking about things, because you can get away with so much here.
I think it's not so much you can't talk about it. I think what the point, the questions that are being raised are, number one, are there channels whereby known terrorists are, able to be protected? I don't know what the middle ground is ultimately going to be, but I think one of the, if you have a specific, whether it be a search warrant or, specific legal case against some individual person or persons to go after certain devices, I think that kind of a thing, named accounts if there are, specific cases against individuals, or they find out, in the case of what happened in England, all the people who were communicating with those individuals, they now have the names, they released the pictures. What was their network? Who were the other people they were communicating with in those, terror cells or other kinds of groups? I see that kind of a thing being where the discussion is. Where it comes down at the end of the day, this is going to be a really big challenge in the U.S. and around the world, and I certainly, don't think a carte blanche, not having encrypted apps is the answer either. Certainly not. But so it'd be interesting to see where this goes. And there's really two camps that are emerging on this. Every time we have a terrorist incident, this is going to be coming up more and more.
And if you want to read more about Dan's thoughts, you can find that in the guest column at mitechnews.com. But we've only got about a minute left, Dan, so why don't we talk a little bit about Security Mentor and give you a chance to plug your company there. Oh, wait. There we go. Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks. Well, we're an awareness training company, so, how many people understand how they can protect themselves in cyberspace, the steps they can take, how they, we offer brief, frequent, focused content on single topics, whether that be protecting your smartphone, protecting different devices, your social media accounts and passwords, those kinds of things. We're really, really focused on helping organizations, enterprises be safe in cyberspace and train their employees on their policies and procedures. So that's really, we'd hope to do that in a gamified way, fun way that's interactive and engaging, but also meets compliance.
And the website address?
Website address is securitymentor.com. One word, securitymentor.com. www.securitymentor.com.
All right. Well, that's been Dan Lorman from securitymentor.com. He's with us every month. This has been Mike Brennan.
And Matt Rausch.
And you've been listening to M Squared TechCast on the Podcast Detroit Network.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.